Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 28 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippets. You can reach me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. On today's episode, we're going to be talking to Coach Kevin Carr from Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. Coach Carr also has his own business called Movement as Medicine that's housed within MBSC. So we're going to be talking to him about his business and also about his most recent article on HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, 3 Reasons Our Athletes Are So Healthy. So he's got his eye on the health of the athletes, and he's got a really unique approach to that. So we're going to be talking to Coach Carr about that. Remember, if you're not a member right now of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can join us for just $1 for the first 7 days. After that, you'd be charged the regular rate of $14.95 a month, or you can purchase the entire year at $149. That's essentially getting you 2 months free throughout the year. So whether you're a strength and conditioning professional, a hockey coach, a motivated player, or even parent, you're going to get tons of information on HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. We've got articles, videos, webinars, and programs all geared towards the training of hockey players. So we've got our eye on hockey players. That's who we want to improve. All the information is there. We've got over 800 articles at this point. So check it out. It can be an excellent resource for you. And we're always updating our content. So you're going to find some great information on there, including Coach Carr's great article about 3 reasons our athletes are so healthy. All right, looks like we're ready to get going with Coach Kevin Carr from Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning and Movement as Medicine. All right, so we're on the phone with strength and conditioning coach at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, Kevin Carr. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so it sounds like things are pretty crazy over there. I know we missed you a couple times, but business is good over there, and it sounds like you've got your hands full over there. Number one, you're a strength and conditioning coach at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, which is a full-time job in and of itself, but you also have your own business with a couple other partners called Movement as Medicine. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. I think what I want to get into right away here is the article that you gave us for HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. Talking about keeping athletes healthy, and it sounds like, you know, from your background, you're a licensed massage therapist, you're a strength and conditioning coach. It sounds like you've really got your eye on keeping athletes healthy and having well-oiled machines, I guess, as athletes. Your most recent article was about how you keep your athletes healthy. Can you run us through the 3 ways that you talked about with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that article kind of just spurred out of doing mentorships and teaching through certified functional strength coach and having attendees kind of ask like, hey, what are the big things you focus on to keep people healthy? And like, you know, obviously it's a holistic program. Like I think everything feeds into both performance and for just health and well-being, whether it's an athlete or a general population. But the big rocks that I always say are that I think really, really set us apart and set like good programs apart just in general. Anti-core training. So the idea of resisting flexion, resisting extension, resisting rotation, like core, that type of core stability work specifically, lower body, plyometric and power drills. And then also, really focusing on single leg training, which obviously we're known for, here at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. So, and really the idea being that all those things feed each other. Like I said, it being a holistic program, they all kind of improve each other's outputs by building themselves. So, you know, what we really focus on is, you know, we always say the health comes first. We always say that when we look at a program that, you know, the number one concern for us is having the athlete on the field and keeping them healthy, not just in the weight room, but also out on the field of play, because you know the teams that have their healthiest players on the field most often win the most games, and ultimately if they're not out there, then we can't even worry about performance in the first place. So we've moved completely to a single leg training model essentially, other than teaching goblet squatting and front squatting with Olympic lifting, but mainly our main lower body strength exercises are single leg work. And we've seen that's kept our athletes extremely healthy from contact and non-contact injuries. The same goes for, you know, single leg plyometric work, focusing on the stability component and our teaching our athletes to accept force eccentrically. We always say, like, you don't see athletes get hurt taking off. You never see them get hurt producing power. You see them get hurt landing and accepting power. So really focusing on teaching our athletes and our general population clients how to land eccentrically most efficiently. So one, not only can they produce more force out the other end, but most importantly, so they can buffer the forces when they land. And then kind of bolstering those things, two things together is the core stability work in being able to teach our clients to stabilize the trunk against forces in multiple directions, whether it be flexion, extension, rotation, or side bending, and giving them that ability to accept force through their torso. So that's kind of, in a quick summary, the whole idea behind our program and the big keystones to kind of keep it and hold it together.
Yeah, I think, and obviously the programming there has been unbelievably successful, and this is really a model to follow. I guess the biggest thing, you know, for people who are like myself who have smaller businesses than MBSC, there's a big education component. So, you know, what you're talking about and what strength and conditioning really should look like these days isn't what parents know, or, you know, parents of these young athletes. It's not what people know. It's not what it used to look like. So I think education is a huge part of this. And this article definitely goes a long way towards that. Well, let's get into the, you know, you talked about your jump, hop, and lateral bound progression. Let's get into that a little bit. I think, you know, there's a lot of value in that, because that's something that can be done anywhere, really. You don't need equipment. I mean, maybe some plyo boxes here and there, but for the most part, you're teaching. This is something you can teach athletes on the fly. I think it can be really valuable for coaches to know, because, you know, you can do it anywhere. You can do it before practice. You can do it after practice. You can do it as a warm up. What are you looking for in that progression? How does the progression go?
So, like, the main thing I would say is, like, we use the word plyometric all the time, but in truth, like, most of what we program isn't actually a true plyometric by definition. Plyometric, as a term defined by teaching the athlete, you know, to be as elastic and powerful off the ground and spend the least time on the ground as possible. What we really focus on for everybody, as our main objective, is teaching them how to land and stabilize and stick. So starting in phase one, whether it's jumping, you know, so two legs, or hopping one leg to the same leg, or bounding, so going one leg to the opposite leg, we always, our initial progression is always, you know, teaching the athlete to stabilize and stick. And we want to take away the need for them to really have to focus on producing power and decelerating too much. So, like, our introductory progression is literally, for a hop, is they'll hop over a low level hurdle, or even something low is just an agility ladder rung. And I want to see that you can maintain stability from your toe, knee, hip up to your torso and not have any energy leaks as far as, like, a valgus or a hop to stabilize. I want to see that you can just stick and own that position before I ask you to do things faster, reactive, and powerful. And we really, really emphasize that, to the point where, like, I won't progress people on until they show me they can really stick and hold. From there, we can start to progress and demand that they need to decelerate more. So we might initially have them hop onto a box where they don't have to decelerate their body weight. Once they show us adequate function there, we can move them to a hurdle and have them hop over a hurdle. So then they have to deal with the forces of gravity, and they have to show us that they can decelerate there. Progressing from there, we'll have them do things like mini bounces, which are reactive. So having to be reactive off the ground and show that they can control their stretch reflex, and then progress to a true plyometric. So them elastically bounding or hopping or jumping in between the implements. But I would say, like, if you can't control a stick, then you're going to be compensating somewhere. Even if that elastic component looks good, if they can't show you that they can stick and stop on a dime, there's a cost of doing business that you're not seeing until that athlete blows up typically. So I want to see, whether it's a 12-year-old kid or an Olympic athlete or an adult, I got to see that they can own that position before I ask them to be powerful and fast and reactive and those types of things.
Yeah, you know, we use a similar progression at our place, and we deal with quite a few skaters as well. Aside from hockey players, we have a lot of figure skaters, ice dancers, synchro skaters, that kind of thing. And what we see a lot of is this, you know, real issues with this, you know, the valgus knees, like you talked about. And skating is a knee dominant sport for the most part. The skating stride is a lot different than a hockey stride, so they end up using their knees quite a bit. And there's a lot of you know, patellofemoral syndrome and all that going on in the skating community, which I think needs to be addressed. But you know, one thing we see is a big valgus collapse there, but they compensate. You know, they compensate. They can land and stick, but it's not, like you said, it's not free of those energy leaks. How are you coaching to cue against the valgus turn or a turn of the foot in front?
Mm-hmm. Well, the big thing I would say, and I tell you all these qualities in that article feed each other, is single leg strength is really going to support the athlete's ability to do, especially single leg, light implement power or plyometric for the term, more successfully, right? So if you have an athlete who's very weak on one leg, they're going to have a hell of a hard time trying to be successful hopping onto a box or hopping over a hurdle. So number one, like concurrently also teaching them and building single leg strength, whether it's in a rear velvet slip squat or a true single leg squat or single leg deadlift, and getting them to understand how to use their hips. That's the main supporting component. But then literally, you know, having them, you know, just really practice, even if it's on something, like I said, just hopping in place. Like, I think we're very quick as coaches to always want to, you know, be like, hey, let's start on this hurdle, because most people would start on 6-inch hurdle. Well, if you coach enough 12-year-old kids and 13-year-old kids, you'll understand, like, you might just need to have them do a single leg stance in place and practice, you know, what is a good single leg stance? What looks like a single leg athletic position? Can you maintain that? And then can you do a low level, just hop up and down without the component of having to move forward? And once they master that, just slowly building. And a lot of it, especially for if you're working with middle school and high school athletes, it's teaching the motor control on how to control, you know, those joint positions. And I'll always say, like, I want to see Tony hip in line, and I'll demand that they stick. I'll say stick and hold, and because these kids will always try to go faster, always. So I'll say freeze, and they don't go again until I say go, and that makes them really spend some time in that position and understand, okay, how can I be stable here? Because if you don't slow them down, I would say they're like sports cars without brakes. They'll just start, you know, falling forward and trying to rebound to get over the fact that they don't have any muscular stability in those positions. So yeah, really cue, like you said, foot straight ahead, and I want to see everything line up and stack on top of that adequately.
Cool. You know, another thing, you talked a little bit about the single leg training, which is the another component of your three reasons that you guys have the healthiest athletes. And I think another big education piece is this idea of anti-core training. You know, even kids as young as 15 or 16 have kind of stopped in mid-session. And, you know, we might be 3 weeks into a program and they say, when are we going to do our core work? You know, you know, so it's like, well, you've been doing your core work all 3 weeks here. So, you know, everybody kind of knows the plank, but, you know, really anytime there's a off-center carry, it's core work. Anytime there's a single arm press, it's core work. Talk a little bit about your progression that you use there, and where do you start, and what are the qualifications for moving on?
Yeah, so we'll start all in like single plane anti-work. So we have our anti-extension progressions, our anti-rotation progressions, and then essentially our carry progressions, which are like bracing, and then I guess a bilateral carry is anti-flexion, or a single arm carry is anti-lateral flexion. And then we'll start to kind of blend those together. So, I mean, starting with things as basic as a plank and teaching them to almost like get that hard style plank where we're cueing them to pull those elbows down towards their toes, really contract their glutes. And then most importantly in a lot of these things is just teaching them to breathe, you know, the idea of breathing behind the shield, in the nose, out the mouth. And we'll essentially teach, starting with young kids or or deconditioned adults or athletes just there so they can understand what neutral or, you know, quote unquote neutral feels like and how to brace. As far as anti-extension goes from there, we'll start to progress towards, you know, things that perturbate a little bit more and become a bit more dynamic. So like a ball, a stability ball rollout. And I would say like, you should look like you're in a plank from your knee to your head when you do these rollouts. You don't want to see any butt piking or hips falling forward into extension. And they should just kind of move like a pendulum from their knees down towards the floor and back, and then progressively making the implement smaller down to a wheel and then down to like a body stop progression where we can really start to stress that extension load, which especially for our hockey athletes is a majorly important quality. We see, I mean, all the hockey athletes come in with a huge extension posture. So just teaching them to kind of reset that core canister, or like essentially some of the PRI terminology, you know, that zone of that position, we want to see them be able to reestablish that. And then with anti-rotation, you know, programming a number of things, whether it's the anti-rotation press out, the classic like Palloff press, and we'll progress from a tall kneeling to a half kneeling to a standing progression as the time goes. And then working through the basic diagonal chop and lift patterns, same coming from tall kneeling up to standing, and working on those kind of cross patterns and coming up. Those have been invaluable for us from an injury prevention, back pain, and hip stability standpoint as well for the chop and lift work. And that's really like the meat and potatoes. And then the carries have provided more recently like a lot of value to us, especially for some of our high school kids and our adults, because they're relatively safe for them to perform if you teach them to pick the weights up correctly. So those are kind of our main pieces of our core progressions, and just continuing to load those and challenge in different vectors. And we actually begin kind of to combine our anti-extension, anti-rotation, so multi-directional reaching in prone positions, and loading them that way as well. So
cool. I know, you know, you with the certified functional strength coach and maybe even, are you involved in the mobile mentorships there?
Yeah. Yep.
So you find yourself kind of out and about, you know, around the country, seeing what other people are doing. And I think if you're seeing these people, they're at least familiar with Coach Boyle's stuff and the progressions there. But what do you see as kind of the progression of that core progression that's maybe prescribed more than it should be? Maybe one progression that people aren't doing well, but it's still prescribed because it's maybe cool or difficult or...
Yeah. I'd say the big picture is that people try to progress too quickly. And we actually, this goes on in our own gym. Like we always talk in our staff meeting, like every week, like, okay, what can we do better? And like seeing people start to add, like I just said, multi-directional, multi-vector type anti-core training too soon. So like getting away from like doing things that's as simple as a rollout and doing it, like we always say, like, really, really well, or going to something that's like multi-directional, like being in a prone push up, like shoulder tap. So that becomes anti-rotation and an anti-extension. And for someone who doesn't own, you know, just anti-extension, quickly that turns into a big pike position with the hips swaying all over the place. And that could go from being a very good and effective exercise to being a kind of a useless exercise very quickly. So, you know, the biggest thing is like seeing people program like that, either shoulder tapping or plank rows, or even like just in that same category, like bear crawling that isn't coached and taught well, quickly goes from being like a very effective core exercise to something that is much different, like kind of just a lot of movement. So that's the biggest thing I see is like, you really got to, especially with dealing with the clients just think about getting through the exercise. They're not thinking about, okay, this is anti-extension. I really got to think about, you know, keeping my pelvis posteriorly tilted and maintaining my hips square towards the floor and not getting a lot of movement like that. If you just show them an exercise, they're going to interpret it differently than you. So often that's the biggest thing we see is kind of not keeping the focus on the detail and trying to move quick forward like far too quickly.
Yeah. And in a private sector, sometimes it's hard to stay away from or you know, maybe hard to avoid giving them that little bit of variation because you think they need it, but you know, in reality, it's maybe doing more harm than good.
Yeah.
Speaking about, you talked a little bit about keeping athletes healthy, and that has to be where your eye is. You're a licensed massage therapist, and you run your business right there at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. Talk a little bit about movement as medicine and your goals with that.
Yeah, so about 3 years ago now, Brendan Rurick and myself, we had been working as strength coaches here for a little while, and we were seeing, issues that we wanted to be able to address and deal with from a manual therapy perspective, and to combine, the background we had of strength conditioning, and we were like, well, there's an opportunity to help people and better ourselves. So we went to massage school, and conveniently we also had space available at MBSC to put our practice in. So our goal is really, we want to make this Mike Boyle Strength Conditioning Movement as Medicine together as an operation that's completely, fluid. Between. So the majority of our clientele are training clients, and a lot of our training clients come to see us, to manage just day-to-day things or kind of chronic things or manage like the later end of a rehab session, like in conjunction with a physical therapist, to kind of bridge the gap. So we're kind of dealing with anything from, like dealing with things like plantar fasciitis, like a chronic injury, to, just chronic stiffness in restoring motion with people who might have a blocked shoulder mobility or thoracic mobility, just kind of bridging the gap. And I was just explaining this to the client I just had in here that, while we do provide traditional massage therapy treatment, and there's a lot of value in that, a lot of our work is spent in half the time or less on the table, and then the rest of our time doing exercise progressions, because ultimately, your durability and your ability to use any of that range of motion or that restored mobility is going to very much rely on you having stability and control in fitness. And I would say the people who end up in my office in the first place due to a lack of fitness to some degree. And they broke down due to lack of fitness to some degree. So we really try to blend together the idea of massage and strength and conditioning. And that's kind of why we termed it movement therapy. And I always explain to people when they come in here for the first time, if they're not someone who's already exercising with us, if there's someone kind of from the outside, that like, I kind of, as a disclaimer, say, I'm going to tell you now, my goal is to have you training and doing things that look like exercise and not doing things that look like massage and rehab so much. My goal is to not have you on the table, which to many people doesn't seem like a good business approach, but I mean, I want them to be better. And I just get that out right from the get-go, so they know that, our goal is exercise. So that's kind of what we do. And, we have a few therapists here now kind of working both as coaches and as massage therapists. So we've kind of, integrated ourselves right into Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning as a piece of it. So it's been great.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome approach. I mean, you look at, I see that as being congruent a little bit to a chiropractor. So maybe you go in for an adjustment in a chiropractor, or you go to a massage therapist to get a massage. And then it becomes a weekly thing because you're right back where you started. But it sounds like you're educating and you're teaching people how to move a little bit better and getting them to a position where that doesn't affect them anymore. They don't have to come in for a weekly massage or a weekly adjustment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they're moving that much better.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say if you're moving well, like I just want you to have to come see me to kind of manage, your training stresses. Like I have some people who have been training here for a long time and they have a lot of activities and they might, we just might need to work on managing tissue tone and mobility every now and then. That's where I want you to be. I don't want you to have to be in here because things that are like, I don't want to always have to work on your hip or always have to work on your back because it's always stiff and sore. Like there should be an answer to that. And if we don't have that, we're very quick to kind of refer out, and we have a good network of health professionals and therapists also that we kind of work alongside with for those types of operations. And It works very well for us. So, yeah.
Very cool. Well, Kevin, thanks so much for joining us, and keep up the good work there. It sounds like you're doing some awesome stuff there. It's definitely a great environment. You guys are sort of leading the charge there. So keep up the good work, and thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you for having me on here.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 28 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks so much to Coach Kevin Carr for joining us from Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. If you haven't checked out the rest of his articles, he's got some really great writing at movementasmedicine.com. That's where his blog is, and there's some really great information there. So, an awesome resource. Check it out for sure. Remember, you can check out articles from Kevin Carr and dozens of other hockey strength coaches at hockeystrengthandconditioning.com. Try it out for just $1 for the first 7 days. We know you're going to love the content, so check it out. We know it can be a great resource for you. Until next time, be sure to train smart and check out hockeystrengthandconditioning.com for the best resources for training hockey players.